Welcome to the Spin Access Podcast. I'm Eric Barzeski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
And I'm Tyson Deskins. Real quick, pause this, go hit the subscribe button, share with a friend, and then hit play again.
And tell all your buddies.
All of them.
They'll thank you for it. All of them.
It's going to make you play better golf. All right, so today we're going to talk about comparing yourself to a tour player. And that could be PGA Tour or LPGA Tour, as you know. Sometimes you need to swing maybe a little bit more like a lady golfer. When you guys break down your students' swings, do you often use like a tour player as a model, or how do you do yours?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely will pull up a tour player for players to see parts and pieces of what it is that I feel that the player I'm working with needs. I use TrackMan in my studio, and I like one of the recent updates that TrackMan had. There's a little bit of AI since AI has taken over the world, right? It brings up what I call bubbles. There's a bubble on the center of your chest and a bubble on the center of your pelvis. I think James Leitz called them grapes back in the day when he started to talk about those. I just call them bubbles. And it shows, you know, how your pelvis and chest are moving laterally, how they're rotating. And oftentimes I'll pull those up to show a player, hey, here's Rory with a driver, maybe a player's early extending. You can see that pelvis bubble move closer to the ball, and you'll see Rory, how he controls his pelvis bubble. It's not that I'm saying you need to do everything that Rory's doing, because there's only one of Rory, but it's to highlight some of those pieces for sure.
Yeah, I use tour players to demonstrate one specific piece that they kind of overdo a lot. So for example, I use Rory a lot for rotation of his chest without like doing a whole lot with his arms. His arms stay really well in front of him. I have a gear system so I can pull up a gears swing of Rory also, because I'll use him for how much your trail elbow bends. His trail elbow bends about 65 degrees. I'll sometimes pull up Sergio Garcia. His trail elbow bends 55 degrees. I'll pull up a random tour player that they tell me, what about that one? What about that one? What about that one? Because almost none of them bend their trail elbow over 90 degrees. And yet if I take a video of them from the right angle, so I can kind of be parallel to the, or perpendicular to the plane of their right arm or their trail arm, they'll bend their arm 140 degrees or 112, 20 degrees or something like that. And they're like, oh, it needs to be that wide. Okay, I see that. And I often like to pick a tour player that exaggerates the thing. For example, a lot of people thrust their pelvis toward the golf ball during the backswing. And I have a video of Dustin Johnson where his pelvis clearly moves almost away from the golf ball during the backswing. He has negative thrust, right, on that video. And so you need to feel some of this. You don't need to do all of this, but you need to feel some of this, because what you do is the opposite. So that's how I tend to use tour players. I do not use tour players to say, like, you need to swing like Justin Thomas in the totality.
Yeah.
Because that's Justin Thomas's swing. And if you can borrow a piece to make your swing better, that's all we do.
Yeah, that's bang on. I'm the same way. I mean, taking Justin's swing for a perfect example is of a couple of students that shallow the club like crazy. It's just their superpower. It's insane. They came to me and they're swinging like 12, 14 degrees in to out. I'm like, okay, what elements can we add into your swing to lessen that? Right. Well, get the hands a little bit higher, like JT's, where we're going to lessen some of that like hand path and the club path because of that. So like, okay, perfect. So I use his swing as like, look at how his hands work, where your hands should roughly be at the top. But yeah, it's not like, okay, I want you to swing exactly like, you know, JT.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've used Brooks Koepka's swing for a lot of people, because Brooks is not a massive rotator, especially in the backswing. He doesn't rotate his pelvis or his chest a ton, but I will show people, okay, he's not rotating much, but look how he controls the sweet spot of the golf club. The sweet spot of the golf club is not tipping out in front of his hands and he's coming, you know, 15 across it. He's still controlling the sweet spot with limited rotation.
Yeah, Brooks is one of the few people that I think actually does push pretty hard in the downswing with his trail leg.
Absolutely.
Because it's like a driving baseball type swing. He's one of the few guys that will do that. And so I don't use Brooks for that very often, because I think for most people that's tough. They can't get the rotation they need and some other things, but
he definitely pushes off the trail leg hard.
For the other things that you talked about, he's one of the few, to be clear. Most people are not pushing off their trail leg, and by most people I mean most tour players are not pushing off the trail leg during the downswing.
Yeah, he's just outliner.
right? They're falling a little bit forward and then pushing hard on the lead leg very early in the downswing. But anyway, yeah. So there are some people that say, okay, your body type, pick a tour player with the same body type as you and then swing like them. So if you're built like Carl Pettersson, or you're built like Will Zalatoris, or you're built like, nobody's built like Dustin Johnson, but like, whatever. If you're built like this guy or that guy, or this short guy or this tall guy or this round guy or whatever, swing like them.
Yeah, we wish. We wish. Once again, we all have different limitations, different mobilities. Again, these guys are some of the best athletes on the world. I mean, it's not a bad thing to take a look at somebody who's 6'5", if you're 5'5", right? But you can still pick pieces out of what the 6'5" guy is doing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing that I find with that is that's their swing since they were like 12. So like their body type when they were 12 is not like what your body type as a 52-year-old is right now. Like, so like what are you doing? Like,
it's a good one.
It feels completely strange to be like, that's been their swing for a long time. It's not like Justin Thomas is like, oh, I grew 3 inches this summer. I need to completely change my swing to be more like this guy. I need to swing like Dan Pohl now. That's the weirdest Pohl, but he was a tall tour player back in the
I don't like remember 80s, that guy. So. Yeah, I'm sorry.
such a dumb Pohl, but whatever. Dan Pohl, yeah. You got a mention on a podcast in 2025 somehow.
Love it.
Hello. If you're still with us, reach out. Say hi.
That's amazing.
I remember he had ads in like Golf Digest magazine for his, whatever those irons were that he played. He was good for a couple of years. But yeah, anyway, he hit it far, if I remember right. He was a long hitter. Long hitter, Dan Pohl, the llama. Anyway. AMG tells a story about how they had a tour player coming in and they were finishing up a lesson with a regular guy, and the regular guy leaves and the tour player's like, oh my God, if I swung like that guy, I couldn't hit the ball.
It's true.
Tour players, when you look at their swings, they're often very simple.
Very simple.
Amateurs make the swing so much more complex than it needs to be. The sweet spot's going all over the place. I call it waving around. You know, they're rolling their wrists this way. They're rolling their arms this way. You know, we just did our rotation episode. It probably came out the week before you're listening to this one. There's a lot of rotation. There's a lot of shifting. There's a lot of movement. There's just a lot of everything going on all over the place. And tour players just kind of, they don't not move. They still move athletically, but they're just
simpler.
It looks fluid.
Yeah.
Even Nick Price's swing has a fast tempo, but it didn't have a whole lot of movement. No unnecessary movements. They're all mostly on plane. They're directing forces in the correct motion, in the correct direction. There's not a whole lot of off-axis rotation and forces and all that stuff.
I mean, you know, it's funny. I had a student in here a couple of days ago. Guy had never seen a swing on camera. And I videotaped it, obviously showed it to him. And he's like, that was the swing I just made right there. I'm like, yeah. He's like, why do I have the club just whipping all over the place? Yeah, I don't know. I don't have that answer. I could tell you what it should roughly feel like. And so we did a couple of things and it was, you know, just some forearm rotation as soon as he's working off that golf ball. And he's like, I feel like I'm doing nothing. Great. Like, how much easier is that? Yeah. And he's like, it's so much easier. Like, why have I been putting all this force into like my other swing when I can make that and that's all I need. And that's where I get it, the top and backswing. I'm like, yeah. He's like, okay, this is awesome. What do I do now? I'm like, well, now I need to do it like 7,000 times to ingrain it. But how does that feel? He's like, this feels amazing. Okay, well, that's just a simpler swing. You were making it harder than it needed to be.
This episode of the Spin Axis podcast is brought to you by Smart to Move, the game changer in golf performance. Their 3D wireless force plates measure your swing from the ground up, giving coaches and players the data they need to unlock more power, consistency, and control. Lightweight, portable, and paired with an easy-to-use iOS app, Smart to Move plates make it simple to see exactly how you're using the ground and how to use it better. Myself, Eric, and soon Jason will all be coaching with them because you can't measure what you can't see. Stop guessing, start measuring. Visit smarttomove.com to take your game to the next level.
There's another way that people use tour players, and this is a way I don't like. A guy he put up a video of his son who was hitting the ball off the inside of the hosel, like off the shaft, basically. Couldn't get the ball in the air. Was like, he has a tournament this weekend. We need to get the ball in the air. I don't know what's going on. And his son basically took it back with like no hinge. And then everything kind of collapsed and the arms ran on way far behind him and all that stuff. And everyone's like, he needs to curtail the arm runoff and do some stuff with his hips a little bit too. But, and the guy comes back with a picture of Bryson that looked kind of similar. It had some things in common. A, it's 2D, and B, the kid didn't grip it like Bryson. He didn't have a body, or the rest of his move wasn't like Bryson.
Doesn't have the speed.
Yeah. Bryson stopped at, you know, 30 degrees above horizontal. This kid dipped down below horizontal. Nothing else was the same. You can't just look at a tour player and say, well, Ray Floyd rolled it inside. We've talked about that on a previous show. Ray Floyd rolled it inside. Well, yeah, you're not Ray Floyd. And Ray Floyd also kind of hoisted it up the top, and then it kind of settled down. You're like waving it around all the whole rest of the time. So no, you're not Ray Floyd. You're not Ray Floyd Jr.
And the kid didn't take 50 million swings on the circle thing at Mike Shy's place that Bryson did right. as a kid, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he hasn't done that. You can't use a tour player, especially in 2D. Let's be clear about that. You cannot necessarily look at a swing in 2D. I have a picture. It was happenstance that I found it, but I have a picture of Rory McIlroy at the top of his backswing, and it looks like his left arm is way across his chest. Because of the camera angle, because it's 2D, it compressed everything. It was probably shot from pretty far away. And I show people this, and I cut it off at the bottom of his feet. And I show them the picture of just its feet up, shows Rory McIlroy with a driver at the top of his backswing. And it looks like his left arm is way across his chest. Looks like it's pinned to his chest. Now, I have a swing in gears. His adduction angle is about 63 degrees. It's pretty wide. There's a lot of space from his chest to his left arm.
About two on a clock face.
About two.
Listen to that's the a callback
to a previous episode. It's Jason's weird Canadian clocks. Anyway, if you scroll down then and you show below his feet, the sun is shining right through the hole created by his right arm and left arm down his chest. And you see how massive that triangle is. And you can see how much space there is and how far off his body his left arm is. People who pull their trail elbow way around their body but don't rotate, oftentimes their trail arm will look like a tour player at the top. And they're like, I think this position at the top of the backswing is very good. And you're like, yeah, except your trail arm is rotated around your body an extra 45 degrees more than it needs to be. Because in 2D, you can't compare that to a tour player. Now, we all coach enough that we can look at a picture and kind of see like, yeah, that doesn't look right. It's probably too far around there and stuff. And we can see those things. But when you flatten a 3D thing into 2D, it becomes very tough. So be very careful looking at tour players' pictures.
Yeah. To your point too, Eric, like you said earlier, tour player swings are typically so simple, right? There's not a lot of excess moving parts and pieces. Oftentimes I'll show players just tour player setups. When you see a player in front of you and their setup is just so far off, and you put up, again, you name it, you put Rory, you put JT, you put anybody up there, and you just compare their setups, and they're like, wow, why do I push my hands so far out in front, or why am I tilted so far back? Just simple things like that, I think, for people can go a long way.
Yeah. And what's your guys' take on some of my favorite stuff is showing a drill that a tour player uses. And knowing why they're using it and then helping, you know, a student with like, okay, you might want to try this drill out. This from, you know, Tommy Fleetwood or JT.
Give us an example.
Well, Tommy Fleetwood's, you know, we've got obviously the main one he always sets up. People are like, it's famous for people see it where he's got the yoga block outside the ball. And then he's got a alignment stick down on the ground for like, his takeaway into like where his, you know, like club plane is into the backswing and the downswing. That's like one of the ones where it's like, okay, if you're just struggling with hitting it out of the heel and you don't know why you're hitting the heel, just try this drill out, right? It's going to do two things for you. If you can't do it, clearly your face is probably out of position or way too early into your swing. So that's a really good drill for him. One of the other ones that I like is the, Nelly Korda water wing drill. Again, you were talking about like making sure that trail arm's nice and extended. I give that to people that, you know, I get them to just order it on Amazon and they're like, I can't not crush this water wing. I'm like, well, you see why we want to do this drill. And they're like, I can't believe that people are more than this. I'm like, well, yeah, because I mean, how many years have you just collapsed that trail arm, just folded in because it feels powerful.
Yep.
But it's not. It's actually stealing you of, you know, like your hand path, your arc depth, all this stuff that you want to create, you know, club head speed.
I'm old enough that I remember Pontiac commercials that said wider is better. And so I cite that to, you know, my 40 plus year old students. Most of them remember it, but yeah, wide hands is good. Collapsing your right, your trail elbow, not good.
Well, and to your point, I love showing players videos of professionals doing those drills. One, just to prove to them that, hey, they have to do this stuff too, right? And two, just for what you said, like those drills are simple, they're effective, and then you just got to go do it. And if you can't do it, slow down, take your time, remove the ball, you know, try to figure out the pieces that you need to be able to get the club to move. Like Tommy's drill is not an easy one.
No.
Not an easy drill for a lot of people. They're going to really struggle with that. So remove the ball, take some air swings, get the club moving through that gate, and then hit some slow ones from there.
Hit some foam balls.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing too, like you said, Tyson, is like, just go do the drills. The amount of times that, you know, students are like, I want to set up my tripod. Just do it once. Once you've done it once, you're going to be like, people look at me for 10 seconds, like probably even less than that. And then they're on their own little path, right? No one cares. Oh, you got a water wing on? What are you doing there? I'm just trying to make sure my trail arm's nice and wide. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. They don't care about you anymore. Like, just do your
Unless drills. You go full Roy McAvoy with 17 training aids on you all at once. Nobody gives a crap what you're doing at the range.
They care about themselves.
Yeah, they care about what they're doing. Unless you're being obnoxious or something, but you're not going to be. Most of them are probably thinking, oh, I should probably record. Nah. I'm self-conscious about it. Credit to that guy, you know. Most of them are probably thinking that if they're being honest with themselves.
Totally agree.
Or they're just clueless and oblivious and don't really care at all what you're doing.
Totally agree.
Is that it? Did we hit all of them? Is that good?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good. All right. So.
All right.
I mean, love chatting with you guys. If anybody out there has any questions about, you know, why a tour player does this or why they do this drill, feel free to message us on social media. We'd love to chat with you. Remember to tell all your friends about the podcast so that they can find out what they need in their golf swing. And we like helping everybody out.
I do not give you permission to Google any tour player's golf swing when they were 12 years old, just to see what their body type was like. Do not do that.